the Comey memos.
Memo number 3.
The next memo, again, has the word secret /no foreign at the top of the page struck through. There is no date, but it appears to have been written on February 8th, given the date at the end of the memo. To begin. I went to the White House today for a 4 p.m. meet and greet with Chief of Staff Reince Priebus. As I walked in from West Exec, I saw and briefly chatted with Bill Priestap and Jen Boone, who were there to do a defensive briefing, redacted. As I waited in the West Wing lobby, Mike Flynn stopped by and sat down. We chatted for about 5 minutes about his new job, the challenges in building a staff and working with folks who had never been in government before, how he maintains fitness, etc. There was no mention by either of us of redacted. Chief of Staff Priebus's assistant came and got me and took me into his office. He greeted me and we sat with his desk between us. He explained that this was a chance to get acquainted and he guided the conversation in a variety of directions. Early in our conversation, he brought up the immigration order and asked if I was a lawyer. He asked if I agreed that the order appeared facially valid. I said I did, as I believed OLC had. The president has broad authority in the area. I added that because immigration was not an FBI issue, I had not followed the court discussion carefully and did not know what considerations there might be beyond the face of the order. We touched on a variety of subjects, including, quote, how the redacted ended up in the report, end quote. Parenthesis, I explained that the analytics from all three agencies agreed it was relevant and that portions of the material were corroborated by other intelligence. They discussed whether redacted and decided it made most sense to redact it. I said I agreed with that decision and thought it very important that it be included and briefed to a select audience. He pressed again and said that the material was redacted. I explained that the primary source, redacted, much of it was consistent with and corroborative of other intelligence, and that the incoming president needed to know the rest of it was out there. I explained to him that at our dinner, the president had expressed interest in having me investigate the Golden Showers thing. I repeated what I had told the president about not wanting to create a narrative that we were investigating him. He then asked about leaks of the fact of redacted and that it was briefed to the incoming president. I said I didn't know where it came from, but I suspect it came from folks who have left government. He asked whether it could have come from the FBI. I said it was possible, but extremely unlikely in my view. We talked about leaks in general, and I explained my view that they almost always come from one or two hops out and that every president is plagued by them. He asked if we had ever caught an FBI leaker. I said we had, but it was a rare thing because it almost always turned on our willingness to go after reporter records. He then recalled the Obama administration conflict with James Rosen of Fox. He also mentioned the leak of the readouts of the president's calls with foreign leaders. He then asked me if this was a, quote, private conversation, end quote. I replied that it was. He then said he wanted to ask me a question and I could decide whether it was appropriate to answer. He then asked, quote, do you have a FISA order on Mike Flynn, end quote. I paused for a few seconds and then said I would answer here, but this illustrated the kind of question that had to be asked and answered through established channels. I said the answer, redacted. I then explained that the normal channel was from DOJ leadership to the White House counsel about such things, redacted. I would normally make sure the AG and DHE were aware and they would likely inform the White House counsel, and he could decide whether to inform the chief of staff. I explained that it was important that communications about any particular case go through that channel to protect us and to protect the White House from any accusations of improper influence. He said he understood and then asked me what I would talk to Dennis McDonough about. I said two kinds of things. Policy, like going dark, and particular operational issues if we were facing a terror threat or there was an intelligent operation that was sensitive. He would call me, cut through the clutter, and find out directly what he needed to know. Reince responded that that was helpful, and he hoped I would call him to offer thoughts whenever I thought they would benefit from them, whether or not it related to the FBI. He said they would welcome the feedback. I said I would. He said he understood my dinner with the president had gone very well and that he was interested in my staying on. I repeated what I had told the president, including that we had agreed not to announce anything. Reince asked me how it worked, and I explained that I had a 10-year term, and although the president could fire me any time he liked, I would just continue my term. There was nothing to announce. During the conversation, Reince also touched the email investigation, offering his view that the Clinton team had misplayed my final announcement and should have pushed it harder as good news. He also said, reflectively, that it wasn't the Russians' fault that she failed to campaign in Michigan, and it wasn't my fault that she set up her email the way she did. He then pressed me on why it wasn't chargeable gross negligence, and I took him through the facts and the law. At some point, I added that it also wasn't my fault that Huma Abedin forwarded emails to Anthony Weiner. Reince then took me to the Oval Office to greet the president on my way out. The president was seated behind his desk, speaking to Sean Spicer. He introduced me to Mr. Spicer, who shook my hand and departed. Reince stayed, seated to my right as I sat in a chair facing the president. The president then spoke about a variety of topics touching on the email investigation, parenthesis, wondering aloud what it would have been like to run against Bernie Sanders if I had recommended charging Hillary Clinton, end parenthesis. He asked, parenthesis, as he had at our dinner, end parenthesis, whether my deputy had a problem with him, and recounting how hard he had been on the campaign trail, saying, quote, the number two guy at the FBI took $1 million from the Clintons, end quote. I again explained that Andy McCabe was a pro. He asked whether he had ever mentioned to me the campaign attacks. I said never, and again explained that he was a true pro and you would come to value him. I said if he had it to do over again, I'm sure he would urge his wife not to run, but that the guy put everything aside and did his job well. The president talked about the leak of the readouts from his calls with Australia and Mexico, explaining that the leaks couldn't have come from, quote, the other side, end quote, and he understood we were helping look into that. Reince interjected that Kellogg was looking at it and we were helping. I said I would follow up to find out what was going on. The president brought up the, quote, golden showers thing, end quote, and said it really bothered him if his wife had any doubt about it. He then explained, as he did at our dinner, that he hadn't stayed overnight in Russia during the Miss Universe trip. Twice during this part of the conversation, Reince tried to interject a comment about the redacted and, quote, why it was even in there, end quote, but the president ignored him. The president said, quote, the hookers thing, end quote, is nonsense, but that Putin had told him, quote, we have some of the most beautiful hookers in the world, end quote. Parenthesis, he did not say when Putin had told him this, and I don't recall. Redact, end parenthesis. He then pivoted to the Russians wanting an apology from Bill O'Reilly. I said I had seen that in O'Reilly's reply, which was to, quote, call him in 2023. End quote. The president then said that O'Reilly's question about whether he respected Putin had been a hard one. Redacted. He said he does respect the leader of a major country and thought that that was the best answer. He then said, quote, you think my answer was good, right? End quote. I said the answer was fine, except the part about killers, because we aren't the kind of killers that Putin is. When I said this, the president paused noticeably. I don't know what to make of it, but he clearly noticed I had directly criticized him. The conversation then moved on to other pleasantries, and we wrapped up with a handshake. JBC 2-8-2017. End of memo.